Kevin McCullough says she is the most needed editorial voice in print today. Listeners have voted her fan favorite for 4 years running. The amazing mind of Carol Markowitz, exclusively on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Biden deserted you. He's not from Pennsylvania. I guess he was born here, but he left you, folks. He left you for another state. Remember that, please. I meant to say that.
Call him Scranton Don. He's just normal Scranton Don now. It's Kevin McCullough. Welcome to a very busy Tuesday go home. We've got a lot to still get to today. Michael Berean in for Ari Zolden, going to talk technology, and we hope to speak with Joe Borelli as well to talk about the big win in the Republican Party for the state chairmanship this last week. Something happened that I've not talked to anybody about yet, but we'll bring you up to speed on all that coming up. First, though, Carol Markowitz is back with us from the New York Post. Carol, I saw you posting on social this week. You're bragging about how many days until you're on the beach, girl. That's the way to do it, I'm saying.
You know, I don't do it to make you jealous, Kevin, but I am counting down the days.
Well, I just think, and you wrote about this last year in your column about what a great throwback to classic like New York this is. But it's a beach membership, and it works out how?
It's this beach club in Atlantic Beach in Long Island. It's called The Sands, and it's really old school, and it is extremely diverse politically, economically. It's just a really wide range of New Yorkers, and it's kind of awesome.
Yeah, no, I would encourage people to go back into your archives and read about it. It made me want to be there. That's how good
definitely.
It was.
It's like a sane place.
That's
it's
right.
Hard to find those anymore.
Hey, so we finally got Biden and Trump in the same state this week, and I'm just curious. Mm-hmm. Do you think that line by the president is effective? I think that the president had a bigger crowd last night. I haven't confirmed this, but I think that his crowd was no. I haven't. And I tried to talk to people that were there last night, but they have not mm-hmm. given me firm estimates yet. But my sense is that it may have been nearly twice the size of what Biden had over the weekend in Philly. I'm just curious. Obviously, Pennsylvania is going to be a really big battleground
right,
state.
Right.
And with the gerrymandered new districts and stuff, you know, this is going to be one of the most important states of the election.
Yeah, absolutely. Is it going to resonate that Biden moved away from Pennsylvania? It's hard to say. I don't think that kind of thing will really matter.
No. But symbolically, he's saying on NAFTA, like he was using that as an example of what Biden did with NAFTA and sending jobs
but
overseas.
Left for another state.
Yeah.
With the Trump shots, they land. That's, you know, has always been the thing with the Trump nicknames or the kind of things he says about his opponents. He has a knack for hitting people sort of where it hurts.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, that kind of thing is absolutely going to have an effect on a Joe Biden type that he left Pennsylvania, both symbolically and actually.
I think that both parties are going to spend about $1.5 gazillion in like four states. It's going to be Michigan, Wisconsin, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. And whoever wins three of those four is going to be the president is the way I'm thinking about it. Hey, let's talk. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and if it's Biden, you know, I can see that kind of thing really hurting him in those states. So.
Yeah. Well, and from what I understand, I've been talking to some of my ground sources in some of those areas already. And the union anger at NAFTA, even though it's years old, like it's decades now since that mm-hmm. agreement went through originally, but it still resides in those Rust Belt families that got laid off because jobs got moved into other parts of the world. And that's been one of the singular best accomplishments of the current administration is to say we're going to do new deals and we're going to get production going in America again. And it'll be interesting to see because the current thought is that nobody on the Democrat side except someone who can win the Rust Belt will be moderate enough to take Trump on. That only leaves Biden, and if he's weak on that issue, I think it's an early night for Trump. I mean, unless there's something there that I'm missing, but if you don't get the rust,
I mean, unless some Bernie comeback happens in the primary, which I'm not sure about, but you know, Bernie is closer to trade with Trump than a Biden would be.
Yeah, no, that's true. Although I don't think I don't think Bernie resonated as well with those union households.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah. It'll be interesting.
It's a delicate dance, Kevin.
It is, and it's going to be 518,000 months of it from the looks of it. So
it's a good thing we're getting an early start.
Yeah. Hey, you weren't able to be with us yesterday, but you know, there were a lot of us in Times Square that were taking on Ilhan Omar and Rashida Tlaib, and Lee Zeldin was on with me yesterday, and he said that we need to have this activism take place now. Is it the right move for Republicans to speak up and kind of bark at Pelosi and say, hey, get her off the Foreign Affairs Committee?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that the more Pelosi has to answer for it, the better. In fact, I think that she sort of gets a pass for allowing this kind of thing to go on under her leadership.
You think?
And she shouldn't.
I'm saying.
Yeah. I know. I've been using the hashtag liberal privilege. It's exactly that. It's that the media will never push any Democrat on any issue. And had this been happening on the Republican side, you know, it'd be just a gigantic, never-ending story.
Right.
So, yeah, she should be called on it often.
How do you think this issue in particular plays with the Jewish vote as they are evaluating where things are at right now and kind of where things go in the weeks to come?
It's so hard to say because I think there are definitely Jews who are disillusioned with the Democratic Party. And then there's like the liberal Jewish establishment, which is just basically another wing of the Democratic Party. And it's like hard to separate the two. But I'm hoping that individual Jews will peel off from that liberal establishment and, you know, kind of realize what's going on, realize that the side that they're on really is taking them for granted and treating them badly and allowing this kind of thing to go on with very little pushback.
Hey, real quickly, adversity scores is what you wrote about in the Post. What's your take? Well, it's a stupid thing, but what unique spin did you put on it?
Yeah, I think it's insulting to poor students or students that were raised by a single mom to say that they can't do as well as other kids. And I don't think they're going to have, they're not going to be graded on a curve their whole lives, so they shouldn't have this advantage on the SAT to measure information, and that's it.
Totally agree. And it reminds me of George W. Bush's saying, the soft bigotry of low expectations, some of the worst bigotry possible. Anyway, reader in the Post, Carol Markowitz, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Kevin. Thank you.